Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
See a blonde-haired boy, he be playing in the fields, and his daddy lifts him up on his steering wheel. He says, one day, son, this'll all be yours, and the banks of the...
It is now time for a very guitar soloing jumping edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply strum on by. I am Corey. I am joined by the lead drummer himself, Basher.
I would be a drummer, I would say. No, what? No, my hand-eye coordination is terrible. I'd probably be a bassist. Yeah, that guy doesn't do a lot of work.
Were you a rock band player?
What? No, I'm a real gamer.
Oh, well, excuse me. I was a rock band drummer. I had the blisters on my hands. I'm like one of you. I only played
Madden, all right? That's real gaming.
Well, only played Madden. Yeah, but you play Call of Duty as well. Did I say my name? I'm Corey. This is Basher. We are here to talk about The Artful Escape. Before we do that, Game Pass or Pass has... We got a couple announcements for you. A couple things. We're probably going to talk about this next couple episodes just to get it out there. You know how everyone does Patreons? Well, we're not doing that. But the purpose
we're
of
OnlyFans.
Exactly. The purpose of only not OnlyFans. Wow. The purpose of Patreon.
What is the purpose of OnlyFans? Let's continue down that path.
You know, it gives people the opportunity to you know, donate, stuff like that. We don't have a huge audience. You know, maybe 200-300 of, you know, loyal people. But then some episodes are a little bit better. So, I mean, it's not really what we're about. Maybe if we get to a point, maybe if people want to donate, et cetera. But the point is that we want to talk about more stuff other than just Game Pass games, as long with life gets in the way. So sometimes we don't have all this time to play these games, and some games are longer than others, et cetera. So sometimes we're able to do 3-4 games a month. Sometimes it feels like we only do one a month. But the purpose of me saying all this is that we're going to be doing some bonus episodes. We're going to be covering just some random topics that we want to talk about that always relate to Game Pass. So, like, for instance, we're going to be talking about one recently that's going to be about quality control in Game Pass, because there's been some issues with that lately, and I just kind of want to talk about it and discuss it. And we're also going to be doing a couple test episodes of when we first started this podcast. Okay, wait, was MoviePass still around when we started this?
It sure was.
Was it? Okay, that's what I thought.
It came back for a month, remember?
Yeah,
like
that's
someone
right.
Someone brought them out.
Yeah, so when we were doing this and we thought about MoviePass or Pass, because we were MoviePass people, and I think I used it more than you, but I used MoviePass, I saw 100 movies that year, legitimately. So we thought that would be a fun way, but when that went away, obviously that it made it hard to see. It made it hard to see movies. It wasn't as cheap as it was. So, you know, we still see movies, but I don't think we had enough to sustain a whole podcast. And then the whole pandemic happened, so no one was seeing movies. But we've been talking about it, so we're going to do some bonus episodes, a little sideshow of Movie Pass or Pass. And our first episode is going to be on Venom, Let There Be Carnage. So just some updates for you, more content. So we'll see how it goes. If you like that idea, hate that idea, you can let us know, gpopfans@gmail.com, or you can shoot us a text message or a voicemail, 574-651-9256. But let's talk about The Artful Escape. Here's the details
actually,
on this. What?
Actually, before we continue on to Artful Escape, I just want to add something to that, to the top of that.
You quit.
Had enough. Finally, that's it, guys. All this. Now movies? I got time for movies. So, I just want to add on top of that, with the amount of listeners that we have, whether it grows or shrinkens or whatever, even then, it's just a matter of, like, to me, I'd rather, like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I have a day job, so I'm good. I don't need the Patreon and donations and all that stuff. Like, I would much prefer if we just got more feedback in general. Good, bad, neutral, whatever. Suggestions, even better. So if we can definitely, like, go more that route than any other, that would be more down my alley for me.
Yeah, I agree. I have a day job as well, and I think I have more free time currently than you do, but I am currently in the process in my life of trying to find a new job, find a better job, etc. And I enjoy content creation, but history about me, if you still follow me on Twitter, I've got people that have followed me, 10 years, and I've made connections and friends in this industry that industry, I guess. I did that, and it's not something that I want to do full time, but I still like creating stuff. So I'm not into the Patreon thing simply because, I don't ever want to feel like it's a job, if that makes sense. Now I know
that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And I know that can be frustrating to some people that listen to content. They want it, rightfully so. They want it professionally made. They want it on time. They want it the same time every week. That's just not what we're about. And that's one reason why the Game Pass idea sort of works, because it doesn't, what's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't require monetary involvement as well as time investment right away. Now, when we first started, we tried the whole, We tried the whole day one Game Pass thing because that wasn't happening often, but now it's like all the time. So that we sort of fell off of that simply because we just don't have the time. Like when literally there's three or four games that get dropped at the same time, like we dabble in all these games, and there's some games, like I'm playing Flynn right now, and I've been trying to get Basher to play it. He just doesn't have time, and that's not to say that Basher's working all the time. We just have lives outside of this too. Like, we don't only want to play Game Pass games, Yeah, I get what you're saying. So I almost feel like we should cut this out and make this its own episode really quick. But it is what it is. But there you go. So, anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it.
All right, well, there you go. Okay, so let's talk about The Artful Escape. Here are the details for Artful Escape, developed by Beethoven and Dinosaur. I believe this is their first game. The story of this developer is a little out there. I don't say out there. It's just not your typical development story. I believe that it was like the lead singer or guitarist of a band, but he went to school for computer design. And so this is a game that has taken a very, very long time to come out, but it's been sort of kind of a passion project for someone that is just very, very much into music. He really enjoys music, the history of music, etc. So very small team. I believe it was just one guy and a couple support people. So regularly priced at $19.99, it's a 2D adventure platformer, I called it. It's kind of its own thing. It's kind of cool. Available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and is also on PC. Currently not coming out to Switch or PlayStation. I have a feeling that will change. This is an Annapurna published game, so I'm assuming this is just a temporary exclusive or console exclusive, whatever you want to call it. Probably sometime early next year. So no crossplay, because there is no type of multiplayer or anything like that. There is cloud saves, but there is no DLC. The Artful Escape. Let's talk about it.
You said this is made by just one guy, and it took a while to come out. But I mean, right off the bat, when they were the opening credits, if you will, there's some heavy hitters doing some voice acting here. So this one guy must have some amazing connections.
I think that's an Annapurna thing. Like, Annapurna has really come into their own in terms of like finding their style. They also did 12 Minutes. And 12 Minutes, it had Willem Dafoe, it had Daisy Ridley. And at one point, 12 Minutes did not have those people. So it seems like Annapurna is pulling the strings there.
I wonder, does that help at all? I personally don't run to a game because Lena Headey is in it, but I mean, at the same time, I'm a big Lena fan, so I guess catch 22 there. But before I played this game, you were probably halfway through it if you didn't beat it already, and you said you wanted me to play this one, and you gave me the caveat that you probably won't like this one. I could see why you said that. This is definitely a passion product from an indie developer. It is very much a... It's not a lot of gameplay here. It's super stylized. I do appreciate the overall aesthetic. How would you describe it? It's almost like a new, like one of the newer Paper Mario type of things, where it's kind of cut out, but it's not, kind of cel shaded, but it's not. Like, things just really pop nicely. The colors are gorgeous. The art style is fantastic. I just really like the overall aesthetic of the game.
I mean, the presentation is the thing that stands out to me, and from start to finish, really. It's a, like you said, it's very clearly a passion project. It's like, it's kind of hard to talk about. It's something that you really do need to see. And Microsoft did show off this game, I think it was E3 2018. And so this game was first shown and playable, I believe, in 2017. So, I mean, they've been working on this for a very, very long time. But it's just, like you said, it's not quite paper cutout, but it's all on a 2D plane, but it has that depth to it. It's not 3D depth, but sometimes it has 3D depth. There's so many locations, and for the sake of story, for not spoiling the plot, I'm not going to really talk about a lot of them. But it goes many places, in a good way. And no two places look the same. It still keeps its style, but I mean, this is all about the adventure. You know, this is about the gameplay. Quote of this game is not difficult, and it is not, but it's also not a walking simulator either. But you can't really fail either. So like, there's a lot of caveats with it. And us being gameplay first people, I'm surprised how much I enjoyed it, even though I do have issues with it. But yeah, so just, I guess that's to pick out, say like, yeah, like I think the presentation, you saying it stands out, is true, because not only did this the visuals stand out, but the audio as well. It's a story about basically a guitarist that is trying to get out of the shadow of someone who is already famous. He doesn't want to perform sort of the folk music that his family is known for, and he's trying to figure out a way out of that lifestyle. And he's supposed to be playing this show, and he's kind of nervous about it because it's his first show. And so it starts very heavy-hearted, and it kind of just goes from there.
I mean, I think the heart goes all the way through the game as well. I mean, I really did like the setup of the game. I mean, it's like you say, you start off as this young guitarist who is in the shadow of his uncle, this legendary folk guitarist, and within the first 5 minutes of the game, you find out what this kid can do, and he just wails on his guitar, and it really is like a gorgeous riff. It did hit me. Like I'm a big fan of the music in the game as well. So, for a game about music, it definitely shines there as well. So like a lot of work, good work and execution went into just the overall look, feel, and sound of the game. I truly appreciate how this being a game about a character, about a musician, how the music is a part, so much a part of him, is really more about the character. The music is character, and it's his character. And it's just by his own personal growth and finding out who he is as a person through his music, through his journey, through his musical journey. So like, I think that was well done as well.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that we're even able to extrapolate that from, you know, from the first hour, I think the first hour is very strong. But at the same time, like it has its weaknesses in that the only real gameplay of this game is basically walking from left to right and jumping, and you can do like a knee slide, and then every once in a while you play like a little game as Simon Says. Like that is truly the start and end of the gameplay. Now you can probably get a little bit advanced with it. Like some of the landscapes that you're on become very grandiose, and you're sort of jumping off of things and to a knee slide and then to a, you know, to a double jump, and it's very easy, but it's very flashy. And again, like you're not really here for the gameplay. Like it's sort of the gameplay is sort of the vessel to get you from A to B to progress through the story and get to the new settings. Now, like you can at basically at any time shred on the guitar or wail on the guitar with, you know, with one of your face buttons. And what's interesting is that it's always the same riff for the most part. But they've done a good job of elegantly sort of placing it inside other music. And most of the music in this game is like it starts off very folky, but as he's going on his journey, it gets very electronic heavy and, I want to say metal cause that's not right, but it's not folk. How about that? That's what I'll say.
And that's where this game started to lose me.
Uh-oh.
Once I kind of put together that these three very, very simple things is what you do for the whole game, that's when I just kind of realized that this game isn't so much of a game now, is it? And that's not too, again, I started at the top of the show with praising everything that it does well, and I stand by that. Like the things this game does well is extremely well. Like it just looks, it sounds fantastic. That said, this is still a video game. So whenever I get to a game like this, this genre of game, I always kind of become a little puzzled at, why did they choose a video game to do this? Like this, like you, you mentioned how this guy, this developer, is a one man band, and he's working on this. Yeah, essentially.
I want to rephrase that. So, because I did say that earlier, but he's not a one man band, but he was the lead, and he does have two other people in his band working on this game. So it's not one man; it's a three man crew. But anyways, continue.
It's still not a huge amount of not a huge team, not right. Even a medium sized team. It's very small.
Not video game developers. They don't have a background in video games.
Even more so. So like, even more so to the point that like, you could have made anything like that isn't how many years in the making? Like so many years. To make a game that's not a game, and that just confuses me. And then as a gamer, I'm playing it like I honestly had the feeling that I was going to invite a friend over for her to play it and I can just watch it, because like and that's not to say that the gameplay is bad, it's just not there. And as a gamer, that's the part that keeps me on the controller. And if it's not going to be there, then I don't need to hold this controller. I can just watch someone else do it.
Yeah, I mean, I super agree with everything you're saying. And I have issues with, mainly for me, if you're not going to be a gameplay heavy thing, if you're going to take, you know, I'm reminded of games like Oxenfree and After Party. Those are games that they don't have a lot of mechanics, but you're still moving through the world. But it is almost like a Walking Dead. But those come to mind more probably because they're 2D, and this is very much 2D. There's a lot of times that, even though I'm fine with the game not being gameplay heavy, I was like, this is still too much. Like, I still need to be engaged in the game, even if it's not a game. If that makes sense. If all I'm doing is walking left and right, that's totally fine. But you need to be doing something in the world that makes that fine. With Oxenfree and something like After Party, I am moving, but you're constantly engaging me with dialogue and you're constantly engaging me with choices. So it doesn't, I don't feel like I'm just moving for the sake of moving, you know? Like if Mario was just you running right the whole time with no obstacles, nobody would play it. It's very simple things like putting tubes and, you know, a few things go a long way. And this game, like, so when I am doing the Simon Says parts and I am doing the jumping and the double jumping, like, it's fine. But I always feel like it lasts like 30 seconds to a minute too long, because you're never doing anything different, but it does break it up with story elements. It breaks it up with new levels. It breaks it up with the Simon Says parts. So that's where my issue was, in that, like, I super enjoyed this, but by hour, it's not very long. It's only about 4 to 5 hours, but I think this should have been a 3-hour experience and been in and out. But then there's it almost feels like it was purposefully elongated because it needed to be like 4 to 5 hours. And so that's when it sort of comes back to your question. It's like, how did they land on telling the story through this medium? I'm not entirely sure. I think it does work for the most part, but the game parts of it, yeah, they're not ideal. They're not stellar, but like, I truly believe if they were all just like literally like 30 seconds to a minute shorter, I would feel a lot better about it. And I think I would have had a better time ultimately.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want to make it sound like the gameplay doesn't not work. It's just you bring up After Party, and that's a good example, because for me, After Party was a game that you can have gameplay through dialogue, of course. I mean, before the 3D days, I mean, even most of the 2D days, like it was just told through dialogue. Like, you can definitely, I mean, you talk to Mass Effect fans, and they want to pretend like the choices is the best part of the game. So wow,
shots fired,
right? So you can definitely have gameplay, great gameplay, told simply through dialogue and simply through choices, simply through text and speech. And I feel like this game gave just, again, they're not gameplay developers, so I don't want to sound like I'm beating them up for it, but I feel like they just gave no real effort in putting any gameplay into the heavier parts of their game, which is really the story, in a way the story is told. The jumping isn't, there's never really any real jumping puzzle that begs for extra attention, you know? Like, it's just like, it's all very simple, very simplistic, and it's not bad, it's just also not engaging. That's my biggest issue with The Artful Escape. I never truly felt engaged by the game. If watching it is, it's gorgeous. It sounds great. Like, you can see where the love went into it. You can see that people cared about it. You can see where the care is in the game. But I just was never truly engaged by the.
My pushback would be to, I don't want to say to play devil's advocate, but to sort of just, I was a challenge us, whatever. You know, because you brought up the example of saying, like, well, I wanted to call my friend and I wanted her to play it. And, like, and that's sort of a question. It's just like, well, are we just too, do we play too many games? like is, are we even the target audience for this kind of thing? Like, is it simplistic for the sake of being simplistic, or is it simplistic to a fault? The fact that I could set the girlfriend down, or you could set your friend down, and they could play this and get through it. And I have a feeling a lot of them would be like just blown away. Like, you know, if I had to throw a score on the game, I have a feeling their score would be significantly higher simply because it is accessible to them. I guess I don't know if that plays into this.
I don't know for sure, but it sounds good. Like, yeah. Honestly, it sounds like it could be true. Because we can only talk for ourselves anyway, and that's all who I was talking for. I was not trying to speak for every gamer. There's different levels to all of us, but for me personally, it never truly engaged me, and I've played too many video games to count, and quite a few of them aren't Devil May Cry 3, you know, like there's a lot of adventure games, slower paced games on there. I mean, just about 6 years ago, I played a text adventure again because it was just getting rave reviews. So I understand that there are different ways to move through this medium, but a game like this that looks so good, sounds so good, I want it to feel just as good, and that's my biggest drawback. That's the thing I was really fighting against. It's like, I wish I could do more with this world. I wish there was more to do with this world, just functionality wise. But all I could ever really do is hold left or right, and then play a game as Simon Says, and it's just, and even that's not engaging. Because I mean, if you go back to the days of the PlayStation 2, you got games like Parappa the Rapper, which is hugely beloved by a lot of people, and it's simply a game of Simon Says, like something to that effect would have worked great for this game. But sadly for me, it's just not a lot of game. It's just not enough game there.
Yeah, I agree mostly in that I was sort of waiting for the Simon Says parts to ramp up in difficulty. They never really do. From the first time you do it in front of that little fountain there to the last time, you know, it's never that difficult. The last one, they throw more at you, but it's not like life changing or game changing, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, like I think I agree in that. I think it falls short in that. I don't want to say it treats the player like they're stupid, because that's not fair, but like it's definitely dumbed down. I think it's dumbed down to the point to a fault in that. I understand that it really wants you to focus on what's going on around you, and I have a feeling that's sort of the design philosophy, is that, like, you know, we want to give you something to do, but we also want to make sure that you can see and pay attention to everything that's going on. And again, it sort of comes back to that question. It's like, well, then why did you pick this medium? Like it's almost, to me, it would almost make more sense to be in like a TV show or something like that. But you know, that's being hyperbolic and asking too many questions. So, but yeah, all that being said, I still think you should play it. Like, this is one of the few games that I'm like, you know what? Like, even though I had issues with it, I can't really think of anything like it in a good degree. It's an experience that I super enjoyed. And while by the end of it, I was ready for it to be over simply because I wanted to get to the end of the story and I wanted to see how things would end. It wasn't enough that like I ever wanted to put the controller down.
This is one that, this might be one of the best games that I just, that just doesn't resonate with me. To a point where I honestly, by an hour in, I was very, very bored. And I just was not enjoying my time, even though I was enjoying what I was seeing. It's a weird dichotomy to feel like I like what I'm looking at, but I just want to play it, and I'm holding a controller, and I'm not playing anything, and it's just frustrating.
No, but by like hour three, it was a weird feeling, because again, I really want to see this through. But it's almost like, you know, watching a magic show after you've seen how it's done, and then you have to keep watching it. Like, it's just like I'm no longer bedazzled by it. Like, yes, you're very flashy and you're very cool. You're doing all these cool things, but it's like, I get it. Now just let me see the end, because I know the end. I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens to this character, kind of thing. But yeah.
You know, I agree with that. I like the character. I love his motivation. It's very relatable, but just as a game, I honestly don't want to pass it along to other people, but it's not a game that I can say that because it's bad or badly made. It's just not for me. That said, I think you brought up a good point that it might be because it's for a specific audience or or someone in a specific mood. For me, if this game was 2 hours in and out, easy pass. But that 3-4-5 hour mark is just, I'm good. But again, I think it's just not for me, but I think it's for other people. Therefore, I agree with you. I think you should pass this on to your friends. Make sure it's that right friend too.
Yeah, I would go a little bit more broad. I think in the context of if you're someone who just wants to experience something different, like I said, and I don't want to like hearken that, like, you've never played anything like it, like, because it's probably not entirely true, but like I've never started a game and been kind of drawn into it, and sort of as it started unfolding, I was like, this is really neat. Like, I can't really point to a thing. Like, the closest thing really is like an After Party. Like, that's the closest thing that I can think of, but that's almost a completely different game. So yeah, I think this, and it's unique in a way that isn't offensive, I guess. Like, it's not trying to do anything like gimmicky or anything like that. Like it, like you said at the beginning, it clearly has, it knows what it's trying to do and it gets there. I think it does suffer by just being too long, but I don't, if we were talking like this is a 10 hour game that should be 3 hours long, that'd be different. I think it's about an hour to an hour and a half too long. And right, I think that's, right. Yeah, I think that's more than forgivable. So again, it's not a 10 out of 10 by any means, but it's cool enough that I think everyone should at least give it a look-see, you know, check it out. So, but all right, there you go. The Artful Escape. Pass it on, play it, check it out. It's on PC and Xbox. One thing I guess I should bring up, it does have Xbox Series X and S support, but hopefully it gets patched, because I did suffer frame rate drops on the X even. So I'm curious how it runs on the S and the Xbox One. But nothing to the point of it was game breaking, but I definitely noticed it here and there. So, but all right, that is going to do it for this episode. We played some other games. We've been playing Halo 3 ODST. We're going to talk about that soon. We played Myst. We played Skatebird. We played, what's the other one? There's one more. What am I forgetting?
Scarlet something?
Scarlet Nexus. You played Scarlet Nexus. I have not gotten to it yet. And over the past couple days, a little game called The Avengers dropped on Game Pass.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
At some point, we'll be talking about that. Yeah. So the rest of this year is kind of picked out, though. Back for Blood is a big one. That's a game I'm genuinely interested in, and I believe you said you were. We had already decided we're going to be playing that. So between that, Halo, Forza Horizon 5, we got Halo 3 ODST, Halo 4, Halo 5, and then Halo Infinite launch. So between that, I mean, we've got about 8 to 9 games on the docket. So unless something, you know, major comes out in November, December, something like that, that they were not anticipating, our year is pretty much set, I think. So it's going to be December before you know it, and then it's time for our Game Pass Game of the Year episode. So, but all right, that's going to do this episode. We will see you next time with either Myst or probably Myst, actually. So there you go.
Good day, sirs.
Sitting here watching the rain fall upon the morning. Sitting here thinking how I'd do it again if I had some warning. And I watched the whole thing burst like a dam ready to blow. And when I laid my cards down first, I didn't realize I could lose it all. Sweet lady, did you know the glitters is not gold? Did you know the glitters is not gold? Thank you. kissed by the sun. Did you find that Hollywood dream? Are you thinking about back home? Sweet lady, did you find that home? The glitters is not gold. Oh, the glitters is not gold. Not gold.